Hello, listeners. Welcome to yet another episode of In Conversation with Ashwin. And this is your host, Ashwin. For the first episode of 2018, I thought it would be good to start off with some inspiration on fitness. And our guest for today couldn't fit the description more. I had a great time recording this on a phone call. And so the quality of the audio is not the best, but it's definitely easy to listen to over headphones or earphones. Deepika Mehta has personally been a great inspiration for me. She's an Instagram celebrity. She has over 130,000 followers across different platforms and mostly posts on Instagram. And if you check the feed out, if you check her posts out, you will be amazed at A, the pictures, the scenery, and also the skill that this woman's got. She looks half her age and does crazy handstands and other strength-based exercises. So I would totally recommend that you guys follow her for the motivation and just basically help you get to the gym, because she's helped me out. In 1997, a near-death rock climbing accident had the doctors tell Deepika Mehta that she would never walk again. No one to allow obstacles to deaden her spirit and enthusiasm for life, she sought after alternative approaches and found the age-old discipline of yoga. She's big on yoga, she practices meditation and pranayama, and through this incident she dove herself deep into years of education and practice and sought alternative healing techniques. She was led to practice Ashtanga yoga and met her guru Sri K. Pattabhi Joyce in 2002. What she also does is travel to different parts of the world, studying with various masters like Richard Freeman, Dena Kingsburg, and many others. She's currently a student at Sharad Joyce's academy and practices the advanced A series with him. She's been fortunate enough to have her own TV show called Yoga City, as well as teaching India's most famous celebrities. She's been the master trainer on the show The Biggest Loser in India. She's been featured on One of the Three Women, Redefining Beauty Ideals in India, and Vogue magazine in 2014, and a bunch of other magazines. To add to this long list of achievements is her talk and presentation, her dance presentation at the TEDx event at the UN headquarters in NYC. Now a well-known yoga teacher and a professional fitness expert, Deepika lives in Mumbai, where she teaches regular classes in Bandra. She also has clients all over the country who she helps achieve ultimate mind and body experiences with Ashtanga yoga. Sorry about that, my throat's a little bad today. She gives diet, lifestyle advice, and also helps them arrive at their goals. In our conversation, we discuss her journey and organic transition into yoga, the different types of yoga, her course on Kodi app, what she thinks about food and healthy food habits, her favorite books, her motivation to live an inspired life, and the secret behind her breathtaking Instagram photographs. So without further ado, presenting to you my wide-ranging conversation with Deepika Mehta. Hello, Deepika. Welcome to the show. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Hi, Ashwin. I'm so glad that I'm on the show. Thank you.
Right. Just diving right into it, right? First question. Yeah. Tell us a little about yourself, your childhood, and how that has ended up having an influence on the person that you have become and are becoming.
You know, I had a very, very simple childhood. Nothing fabulous or inspiring or any of that. I was not really athletic, even remotely.
What are you saying? That is surprising. Not athletic?
Yeah, not even remotely.
Wow.
Not even remotely. Like, I come from a very, you know, my parents are like the sweetest and kindest people I know. Like, seriously, I know everybody thinks that about their parents, but, you know, I think it's like, that's for sure is something I know for a fact.
Yeah.
But they are not, you know, neither of my parents are even remotely athletic.
Yeah.
I don't have that athletic gene, you know. So, and I went to a very normal school till I was in class 8, and then I ended up having lots of trouble with boys.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it was not something I really wanted.
Yeah.
I guess I was in a way kind of a prude or something, but kind of to run away from all the trouble that I was having in my life,
yeah.
I went to a boarding school in the mountains. It's called Wellham Girls.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a turning, not, it was one of the turning points in my life, because when I went to the boarding school, it's an all-girls boarding school, you know, so just being pretty and cute was not good enough.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying I'm pretty and cute, but I'm saying that, you know, that was not the focus at all in this school. You know, it was all about, and not even just studies. I was always pretty good at studies, but in this school, everybody, you know, was good at something. They all had amazing personality, and, you know, the whole school, that was the focus. And I just kind of had nothing else to go for.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, this boarding school was really strict. Like, food was totally, you know, you were not allowed to have duck. You were not allowed to get food in.
Yeah.
Anybody who's gone to a boarding school will relate to this. So basically,
absolutely,
we were kind of starved, and we were living on terrible school food. So the only way that you could get some kind of yummy food was if you were part of the Adventure Society. So I joined this Adventure Society only because then you got this extra bottle of Bonvita.
Wow.
And just for that bottle of Bonvita, I joined the running or whatever, the Adventure Society.
Yeah.
And the first time I ran with everybody, all the rest of the girls, I think it was like a 4 or 5 kilometer run, and I think I reached pretty much like 40 minutes after everybody else. And they finished the run in like 20 minutes. Or 20
wow.
Minutes. So, you know, I was so bad. And that really inspired me, you know, because I was like, shit, I can't be so shit.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I guess something in me, I don't know, was like competitive, or I don't know, whatever the emotion was, something in me was like, oh no, I have to get better at this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't want to be the loser, the newcomer and the loser, because nobody got, if you were a newcomer, you had to have something for people to talk to you. So
yeah.
I was such a loser, nobody would talk to me, basically. So
right.
I had to prove myself a little bit. And so I joined this. I gave this a very good shot. I got into the Adventure Club full on. I started doing the running every day. And then I did a lot of hikes and treks. We did glaciers. We did a lot of mountaineering. And I think that was my kind of start into getting athletic.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that was continued, then I went to college, and then again, you know, I kind of lost the passion. I mean, I was still fit, and I would go for walks, and I was still big time into trekking and mountaineering.
Yeah.
So I've done a mountaineering course from NIM, which is the Nehru Institute of Mountaineering. I've done like a peak of 21,000 feet.
Wow.
But that somehow led me to get into rock climbing and stuff, and then I had this bad accident. I fell from 40 feet. And I was basically in bed for like 1 year.
Yeah.
And that, I guess, was the second turning point in my life, because it led me to yoga.
Yeah.
And that's eventually what, you know, kind of really sparked a very strong passion in me, you know, for change.
Yeah.
Because I saw, like, for a year, basically, I was in a very hopeless situation.
Yeah.
Very helpless. I couldn't move at all.
Yeah, I read somewhere in one of your interviews that doctors kind of gave up and they said that, you know, it is impossible for you to move.
You go to most doctors, you go to physiotherapists. Like, I heard this interview. I like to listen to very inspiring people as well. So one of the people I listened to, he was like, never go to a physiotherapist. This is going to get me into some trouble. Like, never go to a physiotherapist who can't do what you want to do.
Wow.
You know, you go to a physiotherapist and they tell you, oh, don't run.
Yeah.
Or don't walk, or don't do this. This is really bad for you. And you look at them, and they look totally out of shape.
Yeah.
I somehow don't know if you should be trusting them, because
yeah.
Person is not walking the talk. Then
true.
Somehow that's a little bit of, like, there's always an other aspect to everything. You know, it's not just the physical.
Yeah, I'm also into gym and personal training. So usually I would select my personal trainers. There's not too much of criteria, but one is he should be fit. He should look fit. Like, if he is bad.
Yeah, you want to be able to bench press, and you want to be able to handstand. You want to do this and that. The person who's going to teach you how to do that should be
absolutely
an example of that.
Yeah.
You know? But I see a lot of people who are so, you know, they don't work on themselves. They just want to get famous. And for me, that is not the thing, you know. You want to first be growing and be full of passion, and then you get to share that with people.
Absolutely.
It's not the other way, you know?
It takes a lot of work in the dark for you to come out in the light, I guess. Absolutely. That was super inspiring. I mean, what about, like, in terms of getting back from rock climbing and into this full-fledged yoga and really doing this as both a way of life and a way of earning. How did that transition happen?
I mean, it was a very organic transition. Like, I didn't start off thinking, you know, oh, like, you know, again, this is the thing that I see in people now. They themselves just get into fitness or, like, into yoga. They've probably been doing yoga for a month and they're like, oh, now let me become a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds very glamorous because I'm, you know, like, they see people on Instagram traveling and doing amazing, getting paid and, you know, They're like, oh, no, this sounds like a very glamorous job to do. So let me become a teacher, even though I've just been doing it for a month.
Correct.
So in my case, it was like, I didn't want to become a teacher. It was, I wanted to just first learn.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a student. That was a burning desire. So, you know, it was like, I mean, even now, I would rather, you know, be, my first thing is a student, you know, of whatever, life and growth and yoga and everything. And then second thing is I'm a teacher. So it just happened organically that I was teaching, I was practicing so much, and then eventually I ended up sharing that stuff. And it was more of an organic process that I kind of became a teacher.
Yeah.
And, you know, even now, still, I don't feel really like, I never teach people anything that I'm not, you know, have not been practicing myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am a big believer of, let the teaching happen organically, like, first be a student.
Yeah. Got it. No, makes sense. And you're right about everybody trying to teach yoga, and there's so many institutes.
Like teacher trainings and, you know, fitness trainers and this and that. It's just like all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. You know, for sure go and do teacher trainings and do all of that because it'll inspire you. You'll be around like-minded people. It'll spark you. But that doesn't mean you stop learning.
True.
Yeah.
Got it. Just in terms of for the listeners and for me personally, what are the 2-3 things that someone should look for when they go out to find a yoga teacher, instructor, or academy? How do they decide, like, just basics,
so
criteria,
number
checklist?
Number one, I would say, like I said, you know, just see what that person's experience is, not just, like, don't just go for, like, a yoga teacher training certificate or whatever. See if that person themselves has been teaching and practicing for a while. Like, for me, that's number one. Number two, I would always say go for, like, I mean, secondly, I would say see if you resonate with that person. You know, like, go for a class, and if you feel like they have a good vibe, you know, I think that eventually it is about how you feel around that person. So if you feel like you get a good energy around the person, then I would say that is the second deciding factor. And thirdly, even though I might sound a little old-fashioned, I think it's important that they have at least some have a qualification or something around a classical form of yoga. So which would mean like Iyengar yoga or Ashtanga yoga or Hatha yoga.
Yeah.
Not just totally a new age thing.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like when you've had some training in, like, classical forms of yoga, traditional forms of yoga, you really know what you're teaching.
As opposed to what? Like, qualification in traditional? Are there modern qualifications?
Like, peer yoga and goat yoga. And, you know, somebody the other day asked me for a quote from the Times of India on, like, goat yoga or, like, peer yoga. I was just like, I didn't even want to react to that. I mean, wait, this is India.
Yeah.
Like, on, where yoga comes from.
Correct.
It's embarrassing sometimes when I tell my friends abroad that, you know, yoga has, like, become quite a fluff kind of a thing here.
Yeah.
So for me, I still really respect, like, anybody that you learn from, just see that they studied with, like, great teachers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, if you've had, like, training in Iyengar yoga for a while and then you're a teacher, so for sure you know a lot about alignment.
Okay.
If you studied Ashtanga yoga for a long time and then you're teaching, that's going to tell you that the person themselves has a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, so all the higher school of yoga, all of those are, like, really kind of classical, traditional, rooted in a lot of real stuff.
Got it. Is there any specific form that you would recommend above the other, like Ashtanga, Hatha yoga, or, you know, Iyengar yoga?
I really feel that each one of them, I mean, even though I teach Ashtanga yoga,
yeah,
I really feel that it really depends on your personality. So for somebody who's, suppose that, you know, they're recovering from a major illness, or they have a major health problem, I would say Iyengar yoga is amazing because it's like therapy.
Yeah.
If, you know, you want to, you've already got like decent health and you don't have any major health ailments, then Ashtanga yoga is amazing because it's like, it's going to give you a lot of vitality.
Yeah.
You know, if you have extreme amount of stress and, you know, you need to slow down your pace a little bit, then I would say Hatha yoga is great because it's got a lot of focus on a lot of calming stuff, you know. So it really depends on your personality. But, I mean, since I practice Ashtanga, I love it, and I think it can be tailor-made to anything that you have. But just in terms of a more basic thing, I would say, you know, just see, there are those three forms of yoga that I really believe in, Hatha Yoga, Iyengar, and Ashtanga.
Yeah.
One of them, just see what, you know, you resonate with.
Got it. That's super helpful. Like, I personally, I'm a gym person, but over the weekends I try to do like a bit of Surya Namaskars and a little bit of core functional floor exercises just to keep that flexibility, because the gym is actually working against your flexibility in terms of weights, etc. It's mostly strengthening your muscles for sure, but it's making you lose flexibility very inadvertently. And just to keep that balance and just the calm, I'm doing an hour or two in the weekends. What would you suggest? Is that a good practice, or should I consider tweaking the ways to just find the right balance?
I mean, I'm a big believer in strength as well. Like, I like to do some strength training.
Yeah.
So, I think always a balance is great, you know. So, if you're only just doing flexibility for sure, I don't think that's very balanced. So, I think a combination of strength and flexibility is the right way.
Yeah.
So if you're focusing a lot on doing weight training.
Yeah.
If you want to go for a yoga class, that's great. You know, you can find, I know, they're great teachers. If you don't have access to a great teacher, they're amazing apps as well.
Yeah.
I have an app as well. Not an app, I have a plan on Kodi app.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to discuss that actually. I'm going to bring it up later.
You can do classes on Kodi or, you know, bunch. There are quite a few other. I think there's Omstars, there's a few others.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can get on YouTube and there's so many other great teachers who are giving out amazing information.
Yeah.
If you obviously have access to a great teacher, you know, once a week, go for that. If not, just even just every time you finish your strength training, if you do 15 minutes or 10 minutes of stretching, I think that's also perfect.
Yeah.
You know, you need to make it all a part of your lifestyle. Like, if you're sitting all day long on a desk, right, on a chair or whatever, for sure your hip flexors are going to be very tight and your hamstrings are going to be very tight, which is then going to make your back kind of start getting a bit sore. So you need to make sure that you spend some time in the opposite direction, which means really stretching your hip flexors. You know, so most people's hip flexors are very tight because of sitting all the time. And again, if you go to the gym and you're doing stuff like cycling and squatting, that's going to tighten your hip flexors even more.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure you compensate that by doing a lot of hip flexor stretches. And, you know, if you type hip flexor stretches on Google or YouTube or whatever, you'll get a bunch of stuff. So just do, you know, stretch your hip flexors, stretch your hamstrings. And if you're doing a lot of bench press and stuff, stretch your pectoral muscles. So just whatever muscles you know you're very tight in, make sure you do like 10 minutes, 15 minutes of stretching that muscle every day. That's, I would say that's better than just going once in a week for a yoga class.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's for sure.
It's balancing out all the muscles that you have tightness in.
Correct. Right. What's your take on food? What advice do you have for gym goers who are protein addicts?
I feel like, you know, food is something which is very personal, right? So I'm not a believer of like one rule for everybody.
Yeah.
I really feel like it depends a lot on your activity level. It depends on your, you know, what naturally your body kind of uses as a fuel, whether it's carbohydrate or fat. You know, if you research these days, there are a lot of people who use fat as a fuel of energy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the ketogenic diet and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Paleo or primal or whatever, all that stuff. Or maybe your body assimilates carbohydrate better as a fuel for energy. So you'll have to kind of, you know, you have to be your own scientist. You have to kind of see what your body feels the best in.
Yeah.
And then around that, I think there are some, you know, rules where try to eat, like, eat tons of greens every day, because I don't think you know, I think green vegetables are just incredible for the amount of nutrition you can get for the little amount that you eat. Then make sure, in terms of protein, you know, if you're non-vegetarian, I don't have any, you know, I'm not, like, judgmental about people who eat non-veg.
Yeah.
So if you're eating non-veg, make sure your source of the the non-veg stuff is very clean.
Yeah.
You know, so make sure that it's not filled with hormones and chemicals and,
yeah,
you know, make sure if you're eating eggs that you're getting, if you can get free range. If you're drinking milk, try to get really organic, so it's not filled with hormones and chemicals, because in India, I know that they put a lot of hormones in the milk.
Yeah.
So just try to eat as clean as possible, and if you're vegetarian and vegan, and, you know, if you're exercising a lot, for sure you need to eat a good source of protein, which could be like, you know, brown rice protein.
Yeah.
Or pea protein. If you're, you know, if you don't handle dairy well, or if not, you can have wheat protein. And then I like to make almond milk because I think it's a great source of protein. I make my own, but if I'm traveling, I just get like organic almond milk. So there's a lot of stuff out there, I think.
Yeah.
You have to find your own way.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. It's just...
And of course, like, the number one rule is cut out all the junk. All the junk, which means all processed foods, all sugar. Sugar, for sure, is not good for anybody. That I can say is a guarantee. So
absolutely.
Sugar would even mean incredible amounts of, like, even if you're having a lot of honey and jaggery and this and that, that's also sugar.
Correct.
So, and also, you know, like, look out for if you're having a lot of sauces or Chinese food, all of that.
Yeah.
Even if it says it's got less fat, check out the, you know, the ingredients. So if it's got a lot of, like, you know, all these code names for sugar, basically.
Yeah.
Just avoid that, because that's the main reason which causes inflammation in your body, sugar. And, you know, that inflammation is what causes diabetes and eventually even cancer and a lot of other stuff. So all processed food, all sugar, all like processed flour, all that kind of stuff, just cut it out. Try to eat as clean as possible.
Yeah.
Maybe it's vegetarian or non-vegetarian.
Correct. I think the thing with food is what I've also learned over the 2 years that I've been trying to eat mindfully is that,
yeah,
you should make a sustainable model and not go very aggressive on something that you can do for a week and then fizzle out and go back to eating junk, right?
Totally. I think that word sustainable is very important.
Yeah.
Having said that, you know, it's important. You know, we are also a habit. So if you've been eating sugar for a long time, it's going to take a while before you can cut it out. You know what I mean? So you have to kind of be a little bit disciplined for a while on yourself before that craving for sugar leaves your body.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So, absolutely. I get it. You've gotten your body used to it, and that it craves it. You'll slowly offload that desire.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a balance between something that is sustainable. Like if you're suddenly going off zero fat and zero carbohydrates.
That's a disastrous strategy. Yeah,
that's not good. But just cutting out all the junk, you know, that for sure is something I think everybody should do. Not just to be thin and skinny, but to be healthy.
Correct. Yeah. Right. I've actually seen a few of your Instagram stories where you've posted about books. I know that you read now and then on your travel. If you had to gift one book to somebody, what would it be? Which book would it be?
Books that I love. So, I mean...
Sure, just give me a couple.
A lot of people think I'm so, like, kind of airy-fairy because I read a lot of these kind of books. But one of my favorite books is called The Power of Intention. It's by Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Yeah.
And then I'm big time into The Law of Attraction, which is Esther and Abraham Hicks.
Yeah.
What
did you like about those books? What did you like about The Power of Intention?
I guess because there are two things that I really resonate with, and this is kind of changed my way of thinking. One is that you become what you believe. So if you're constantly thinking negative stuff, you're going to become that. So what he talks about is connecting to the positive aspect, you know, like really, because you become, you know, you're attracting what you're constantly thinking about. So that is the principle that I really try to live by. And then the second thing that I really like in The Power of Intention is, I hope I get this right in terms of expressing it, but
he talks about
connecting to a higher source.
Yeah.
To express and to live, you know, so rather than, and to express your creativity or whatever it might be that you do. So for example, if I'm constantly, wanting to teach yoga because it kind of fulfills my ego, that's not really going with this whole, that's not going to eventually sustain me.
Yeah.
But if I connect to a higher source and I say, okay, I just want to be a vessel for this energy to come through me.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Become the vessel to connect.
Yeah.
You know, to let the energy come through you. So it's not an ego-driven thing.
Yeah,
Whether you're doing a blog or you're doing a podcast or you're an actor or you're a painter or you're teaching yoga or you're just doing a normal 9-to-5 job, instead of constantly letting it fulfill your ego, if you think about it as something where, okay, I was born on this planet to let this certain energy, to be a vessel for this certain thing to come through me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something that I really resonate with.
Yeah, so true. So true. In fact, one of the books...
It's something which is creative. It's more an energy coming through you rather than you're like, oh yeah, I'm such a super sexy person or whatever.
Yeah, it removes the self out of the picture. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So The Power of Intention talks a lot about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I should definitely get my hands on it. I've come across it on one of the definitely must reads, but I should definitely put it on my list to read.
I mean, other than that, I also read a lot of, Tony Robbins.
Yeah, Tony Robbins.
Yeah, I like a lot of his stuff because, again, he gives you a way to be able to do the stuff, you know? So, like, if you have a goal, he teaches you how to get there.
Yeah.
It's not just the magic and, you know, just kind of all, like, it's very grounded in reality, how to get there from A to Z.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I do read a lot of him, a lot of his books.
Yeah, he's like a superhuman, according to me. Like, he does so many workshops, and he's got this Unleash the Power Within series going on across different parts.
Incredible amount of charity, like, incredible amount.
Yeah, he recently did that. I think his whole inspiration was from the Thanksgiving lunch or dinner that he got from somebody, and from then he's been feeding millions of people every Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So, you know, just stuff like this, like, for me, I really want to live a very inspired life. I don't want to become, like, just kind of cynical and jaded and just kind of just living just like that.
Sure.
So, I keep looking for things that inspire me.
Got it. This is one of the questions that Tim Ferriss, one of the people I listen to,
I listen to a lot of his podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. So he has a very famous question that he asks everybody on the show, and I've kind of stolen it from there. If you can put anything on a massive billboard for the world to see, what would it be? I think Jim Rohn says that you're the average of the five people you spend most time with.
Famous. That's so big time. Yeah. So big time. That one for sure. But since it's already been said.
Yeah.
I'd probably go with "This Too Shall Pass."
Yeah.
I know it's not such a motivating message, but you know, it's for somebody who's in a lot of pain. It's a very important message because no matter what you're going through, however intense it is and however sad and dark your time might be or whatever it is that you're going through, it's not going to last forever. This is something which, you know, I've seen it in my life, forgetting it, you know, it's not just something I'm reading from a book or whatever.
Yeah.
So how much ever sadness it is that you might have or whatever, however dark your time is, it's going to pass. So you have to keep believing that. And if you're also on the top, again, you have to remember this too shall pass. So you can't be too attached to whatever it is that you kind of, in that moment that you're feeling amazing about. Not in a cynical way, but in a way that you're kind of very grounded in reality, you know. You don't get too high on your achievements, and you don't get too low on whatever it is that you, whatever the sad stuff that is kind of pulling you down. It's like reminding yourself that whatever it is,
yeah,
is not going to be there forever.
Yeah, that's extremely humbling.
Yeah, I think I like the thought of that.
Yeah, for sure. Tell us a little about your course on Kodi app. What does it include? Are we going to see more courses from you?
Yeah, in fact, they just wrote to us today. I mean, they wrote to me asking topics that we're going to shoot the next month.
Yeah. But what is it about? Like, give our listeners a background on how they can find it and what the value is in the course.
Yeah, so the Kori app is basically an app that you can download on your phone. And it was earlier like you could just go for one person, whoever's plan you wanted. But now it's become like a subscription app. So if you just get the app, they have some of the best yoga and fitness experts in the world. And you know, you can have access to all of those people's classes if you subscribe. So my beginner's Ashtanga plan is on this app, and I've broken it down so it's very accessible to anybody and everybody. And it's a plan where over 30 days you can create a great Ashtanga practice for yourself, including the very subtle aspects. So, you know, if they're looking, people who are looking for teachers, hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, so for people who are looking for teachers, it's, you know, highly recommended from me.
Yeah.
Getting Kori app, and then, you know, there's incredible teachers, I'm one of them.
Absolutely, I would totally vouch for that.
So they're going to have access to some of the best yoga teachers, some of the best fitness experts there are out there.
Awesome. That was I'm sure my listeners will check it out. I will also post links of Kori app and other things that we've spoken through the show for you guys to easily click on and find and not struggle your way through googling it and etc. Just before we wrap up, can I please ask you the story behind your amazing Instagram photographs? How do you manage to get such beautiful pictures? Do you like have a photographer in your pocket that you like just like, yeah, like this is the scene, this is the scene, can we get a picture, and boom, like that is just gorgeous. So more than the poses and obviously the inspiration behind getting that fitness and position right, I'm also marveled at just the surroundings. So how do you manage that?
Well, I travel a lot, as you would have noticed,
yeah.
Which is very glamorous, but it also has some of its downsides. Like I said, like sleep deprivation. Like I said, when I said about, you know, Wayne Dyer, I really like, you know, expressing creativity. So it's not just about yoga for me. It's not just about an asana. It's about creating something which is an expression of beauty and art and, you know, inspiration for people. So I like to, you know, make it look beautiful. I like it. To look like art, you know. I like to kind of style it beautifully, have great clothes, like even the clothes that I put together, they're all my own stuff.
Yeah.
It's not expensive stuff. I can just buy a fabric on the street for like 20 rupees and put it together and make it look. That's what I love.
Lots of effort though. The thought I think is more than the investment.
I mean, I don't know if it's an effort. It's something that I love doing. It's not something that I kind of, you know, it's not an ordeal for me. It's something that I love expressing.
Yeah.
So when I'm on the street, I love to see things. I love to look at common people. I like to get inspiration from people on the streets, you know, nature, all of that. So the pictures are for me all of the stuff that I love.
For
know,
sure.
Nature and beauty and fashion and style and expression and great quotes and all of the experiences I've been through. So it's,
yeah.
My little thing, yeah.
I'm actually always looking forward to your posts, so I'm definitely a personal cheerleader. So it's not easy to do what you do, to show up and inspire us in the process. I really appreciate and applaud you for that. Thank you for being on the show, and thank you for really sharing your words of wisdom and your experiences that is probably going to resonate with a number of listeners who are going to listen to this. Thank you.
Thank you.